I'm joined by Jody Millman. She has won multiple awards for her novel, The Midnight Call, best-selling author of Seats, the New York Theater Guidebooks, an attorney, reviewer for thebooktrib.com, host producer of the Backstage with the Bardavon podcast, creator of the Writers Law School. She is in Hudson Valley, lives her family in Hudson Valley, outside of Poughkeepsie, New York, which is, she gets our weather pretty much the day after we get it. We were talking about that. And she's had a lot of life experiences. We've talked about that a little bit. But again, her book is called Hooker Avenue. This is the second in the crime series. And the book is out. It is a thriller novel. It is a story that has some background in some true stuff. And again, being a lawyer and having that background, Jody Millman, how much does being a lawyer, in terms of writing a crime novel or writing a novel about how dealing with being a lawyer, being a crime novelist, how does it deal with, I mean, how much does having the attorney background help you out?
Well, you know, I believe that we have to write what we know. And, you know, I mean, and being a lawyer, I've been trained to be very practical. I mean, I could never write science fiction. Maybe I could write a little romance, but there's certain types that I couldn't write. And being a lawyer definitely impacted my ability to write crime fiction.
Okay. So, and this is a relatively, yeah. this part is kind of relatively new. You, as I said, you were involved in a lot of other activities prior to becoming a novelist. Is that right?
Yeah, I was introduced to publishing through It's Our Seats, their Broadway guides. And my father had drafted the first one and went to publication in 1999. And then, unfortunately, he unexpectedly passed away. So the publishing company came to me and said, look, would you like to continue on with his, you know, with these guidebooks? Because they're best selling and we really don't want to, you know, we don't want the franchise to go down the tubes. So I said, sure. So my first introduction to publishing was really in the nonfiction area, writing these guidebooks. But I'd always, honestly, Steve, I'd always, ever since I started practicing law, I knew that I wanted to write novels. And I found that as I was progressing through my career, I was taking writing lessons for attorneys. And the judges would always say to me, you know, your papers read like novels, you know, basically.
The storyline, so yes, it's a storyline that continues to grow, but it is, yeah. So it's a matter of all of your life experiences all roll into one. And this particular book, Hooker Avenue. Now, is this book the book is out now? Is that right, Jody?
Yeah, it came out on April 19th. And what's interesting is that both the first book, The Midnight Call, and Hooker Avenue, I have personal connections to the real true crimes that are behind the stories. Now, again, these stories are not retelling of those crimes. They're my imagination takes the seedling of these crimes and then puts my characters in. What would my characters do in this situation? That's probably the best way to do it. But literally, the Hooker Avenue case fell on the doorstep of my law office.
All right. The storyline, well, obviously, it's the story of Jessie Martin. She is an attorney in upstate New York. Hello. And and then there's a number of other characters that are involved here. She's just on her way home. It's a raining cats and dogs kind of day, and she comes across what she sees looks like something glittering in the water, and ends up realizing that it is somebody who has been beaten and is near drowning, or very close to drowning, in a flooded basically ditch of sorts, and saves her, and then the rest is what they say. It's the rest starts to unravel everything, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, one of the inciting event is Jesse finding this woman in this culvert who's about to drown, but that mysterious woman puts her in the path, you know, direct bullseye path of her estranged best friend, who's Detective Ebony Jones, her former legal nemesis, who is a criminal defense attorney named Jeremy Kaplan, Lissy Sexton, who is the victim, and also Lissy's attacker, who's John Doe. So her Detective Ebony is simultaneously working on a series of cold cases where she's discovered that women around the Hudson Valley have been disappearing. And when Lissy is found in this ditch, she bears a striking resemblance to these women who are disappearing. So she gets the idea that Lissy may be the key to unlocking these cold cases that she's working on. But she and Jesse are in conflict because Jesse's an attorney, and it turns out she's going to be representing Lissy. Her boss has put Lissy in hiding. So Ebony is pressuring Jesse to say, hey, I need your help. You got to fess up. You got to tell me where Lissy is. So Jesse's in a bind, a professional bind.
And it continues on, and Lissy is goes right up all the way through the book, the story of all of these characters intermingling and interacting with each other, and I'm not going to give away anything. Just basically, it unravels. Basically, everything finally starts coming to a head, and when it does, it's really a thriller. It is a fast moving piece. And I guess I've had Steve Barry on many times talk about it. He gave you very high praise, and that's he's also an attorney, and so an attorney with a background. And Steve Barry basically researches all of his cases basically in person. You are using a lot of a thread of some crimes that were taking place in Poughkeepsie. Is that right?
Yes, it turns out that, as I said, the crimes were literally on the doorstep of my law office, because my business partner and I bought a building, and the building came with a problem. And the problem was that there were prostitutes and sex workers who were hanging out on our front porch. And we literally had to climb over them and say, look, ladies, you really got to, you know, this building's not abandoned. You really have to move on. And they didn't. We kept calling the police. The police didn't do anything until, this was in 1995. Then from 1996 to 1998, we saw that the problem was dissipating. And in 1998, on September 1st, we discovered that there had been a serial killer who was literally picking these women up, bringing them back to his house, murdering them, and burying them like in his attic in his basement. The guy's name was Kendall Francois. And it turns out that 8 women disappeared at his hands. So that was a story that really kind of incentivized me to write this, you know, because I had that connection. I also had the connection because Francois's house is like 5 or 6 blocks away from my house. You know, nice middle-class neighborhood, nice middle-class family. Nobody would have suspected the guy was nuts. So it had a very personal ring to it. And that's why I wanted to, as I say, take that seedling of that story, the disappearances of these women, and then insert my characters, Jesse and Ebony and Hal, who's the district attorney, and see how these people handle this situation.
You know, being a sex worker is obviously putting yourself in a dangerous position all the time.
Yes.
And there's been other places, other strings of murders where they have, where they basically have been a very similar kind of way they operate, so to speak, modus operandi. And so you're using some of your own past history, some of your own past knowledge of what was going on there, and also putting it into a book, but you putting it into front and center with the details and all of the fleshing out the characters. I've talked many times about somebody's writing. When you started doing this, well, actually, most of the authors say, there's the writing, then there's the rewriting, and then there's the rewriting and the rewriting and the rewriting and the editing. Is that pretty safe to say?
You know, it's true. You know, people say, I tell my family books don't write themselves. You know what I mean? They take so much work. People don't realize how much work goes into producing each and every volume. You know, you write the first draft. The first draft is always garbage. Then you have to, I mean, because my first drafts come out at like 135,000 pages. Now, when it's condensed and finally gone to press, it's like around 100,000. So literally, I have to cut out a quarter of the book before I can, you know, turn it into my publisher. And that's because, you know, I'm still learning how to do it. And I think I'm in the throes now of writing the third series, the third book in the series. And I think I've learned what I have to do in order to avoid having to cut away and carve away a lot of the book. But it's just, it's, you know, it's rewrite. And things change. I mean, from where you start in the beginning isn't necessarily where you're going to end up in the end.
You've got a good editor, too, I take it. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, actually, I work with a woman who lives in Vinton, Iowa.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she's my writing coach. Yes, and she's been my writing coach, I would have to say, for 5 or 6 years. And I work with her. I send her everything, and we go over everything. And, I mean, she makes me rewrite and rewrite and rewrite until I get her stamp of approval.
And that really is, it really is, but it's a secret, but it gets a little easier as you go along. So I'm guessing, I know that I've said
I
that,
hope.
I've had Steve Barry say the, you know, he said, you know, he says you have to do your homework, you have to do all of the research, you have to know your stuff. And if you do that, and you also understand if you understand how your editor or the public will accept what you're writing, then they, especially if you're doing a series of books, because then they have the public kind of drives the novel itself, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I finished the first book, people would say to me, I have to know what Jessie's going to happen, what's going to happen to her next. I have to know. So that, again, encouraged me to continue on with the series. And I knew I had some good characters. I knew I had characters that people were invested in. And the people want to see them, they want to see them get into trouble, but they also want to see them get themselves out of trouble. They're ready for the journey along with the characters. And that's really, you know, it's also interesting because what I do is I send out my books, like not the first draft, but a draft that's pretty close to going to the publishing company, to my beta readers. And that's a group of readers, people that I trust and I know, you know, will give me their honest opinion, and I will send it out to them and have them come back, and they'll say to me, well, you forgot to resolve this plot line, or on this page you referred to so-and-so as having green eyes, and on the next page you said they had brown eyes. I mean, those are things as a writer you become blind to when you've written your manuscript and revised it so many times. So getting fresh eyes really, really helps. And that also helped shape the manuscript, too, because it allowed me to fill in my plot holes, which was something that, again, a writer can become blind to.
How long does it take from start to finish to do a whole novel? How long does it take? From starting on the novel to getting it to actually to signing the copies at a bookstore.
Well, the first one took about 10 years. I started writing Hooker Avenue because I didn't have a publisher for my first book, and I knew I wanted to continue writing. So I wrote that book while I was trying to find a publisher for my first book. So I would say Hooker Avenue probably took about three or four years. It takes me about a year to write the book itself, including researching and getting that first final draft. Now I'm in a different situation. I have a publishing contract, and I've got another book due in October. And it's the first time I've had that constraint, which is also why I'm forcing myself not to overwrite, not to write that 135,000 pages. So, you know, it depends upon your publishing company. I mean, Steve works on a novel. He's getting a novel ready for publication. He's working on one that's in his mind, and he's researching the ones in the future. So Steve usually has three things going on at once. I mean, the guy is a master. He's really a master.
He really is. And again, this is a great book. Hooker Avenue is the name of the book. And again, it is out. It's out and it's everywhere. And you can get it, of course, on Amazon. You can get it on all the online bookstores. You can get it in your local bookstore as well. And it again is Jody. Now, Jody is J-O-D-E Millman.
Yes.
And again,
and anybody wants to, they can look me up. It's JodyMillman.com. And, you know, that will tell them a little bit about me and my book tour and everything they need to know about Hooker Avenue.
Fantastic. Jody Millman, Hooker Avenue, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Steve. It's been a lot of fun.